The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back. Lord knows they'll try to silence our voices.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I think we're coming back now. I'm used to a bigger break at my regular show on the Rents, but I'm glad to be with you. I hope I'm charging you up, folks, and I hope I'm everything you expected. And again, I don't think there's anybody that really, very few anyway. And I'm full of praise for the people I really like. I've got great people on my show quite a bit, there's so many. Again, you have him as well, and you've got a real gift in having Dr. Patrick Slattery on with you. And he comes on RBN, and he does a great job, and he's very funny and intelligent, and he has huge knowledge about all these things as well. He's definitely, between the two of us, we know a lot. And it's been such a pleasure for me to work with him. It's been an honor as well. We have Andy Hitchcock that comes on Tuesday. Usually Wednesday I have Dr. Slattery or I have another guest, and then Thursday. Right now we've been having Paul Stevenson on from Great Britain. Friday we have Mark Collett. You can catch my shows. You can find them at davidduke.com, and you can also find a lot of references on my Gab. And you can also find me on Odyssey, Real David Duke. And I'm at Real Dave Duke on Gab, and I really urge you to get involved in that network. And also, I understand that I wanted to, they said that I should mention this to you. I got a message here during the break that the stream was just overwhelmed. I'm very happy to hear that. Apparently, a lot of people started listening to the show, and they liked so much that they heard, they've called all their friends, and they got other people, and they just absolutely just overloaded the network. So we lost a little bit there. I hope we didn't lose too much, but we're working. People can also call, you know, the numbers and the call-ins, which you can find on the website. So there you go. But you can listen to it live as well by phone. But anyway, so we're going to continue this narrative now. And so you got a little history there. All this is true, right? So have the Russians been the aggressors, or has been NATO? Now, I want to remind all of you that the most aggressive country in the world is America. But I don't blame Americans. I really don't. Because Americans have been cheated. They've been lied to. They've been blackmailed. They've been corrupted. And they don't get the information. Their media is completely controlled more than any other country in the world, even though they control all these other countries as well. We have three television networks, right? And they're all controlled completely by Jews, who are very dedicated to the Jewish agenda. You know, it's absolutely, ABC is controlled by Disney. That was once the last Gentile Christian holdout in Hollywood, the great Walt Disney. Man, I remember growing up and watching Davy Crockett. I mean, I was at that age in the 50s, and I had my coonskin cap even in the middle of hot summer days, and I loved that show, and I loved that network, or that, you know, that program. And that was even, I remember Walt Disney before they even went to color. Of course, we didn't have a color TV set in some of those days, so that's how old I am. But now Walt Disney's controlled by these evil people, Iger, You know, Eisner first took it over, then Iger. They always get their own people in there, then they take over organizations and they bend them to their will. Now Disney is an LGBT force. It's an anti-Christian force. It's an anti-Western force. They also control sports. So now you tune in for the football game, you tune in for the basketball game or whatever, and you get a lesson about how evil white people are, and you get a lesson how, you know, how evil Russians are, and how a lesson how how we've got to open our borders, right? I mean, that's the way it is. So going back to the Ukraine thing, so the Holodomor was done not by Russians, it was done by Jews. Now, later, we had a revolution that took place in 2014. It was led by Victoria Nuland. You know, her real name is like, oh God, I can't even think of the name. It's kind of a weird name. It's a Jewish name, but Nuland is just a name changer. I think her name is Noodleburger or something like that. Burger Noodle or something. I'm not joking. It's crazy. But she, talk about an evil woman. And by the way, she admitted that America was operating biological laboratories, you know, chemical weapon laboratories, really, they really got messed up. And Rubio, you know, Bubble Boy Rubio, he was also one of the Gang of Eight that was trying to give amnesty to all the aliens. Is that you, Doctor?
Yes, it is.
Well, I'm so glad you're here. Yeah, I was just getting to the...
Sorry to be tardy.
Well, I know you had something to do, and so I know you have a lot of extracurricular things you do. You have sporting activities, and you have business activities, and the fact that you make so much time for our freedoms and our values and our people's rights and really the people of the world, and you and I are desperately trying to help the Ukrainian people, because the Ukrainian people are being led to slaughter by their Jewish tyrant that's ruling them, which was put in there by the big criminal Kolomoisky, and organized crime has controlled this country for years. I mean, and it's called the Russian Mafia. You know, they call it the Russian Mafia, but a good example of everything other lie, disinformation of the media. It's not the Russian Mafia. It's not Russian, and it's not Mafia. It's Jewish. But that's how they work, right? They just give us these things. So I was explaining to them that so this whole process that the Jews are doing this to Ukraine, and they're doing this to Russia, and they're doing this to us, because they're also working to destroy the middle-class economy. And there's no way you hurt middle-class people more, or small business people more, than make gas expensive, where they don't have the money to pay the gas to run into town to the restaurant that they might want to go to. They already destroyed half the restaurants with COVID, right? That they, when people have less money, and also they have less money to contribute to these organizations, because the Jewish organizations are supported by the big banks, right? And the big giant money, right? Where people like on our side are supported by average people. Now, if they can't afford anything anymore, then even the little bit we get, and of course, they've also cut off our credit cards, and they cut off our PayPal, and they cut off everything else. They silence us. They get our books off of Amazon, which is also led by Jews. It's just amazing how this is. So I would like you to give your perspective for a moment. And also you filled in for Stepmom. They may have heard it before, but I'd like you to give a little short perspective and how it's not a question of Americans or even, you know, Ukrainians. It's about Jews. It's about a minority. And again, it's not every Jew. We're not criticizing every Jew, but we're talking about Jewish power, and they are organized. They have thousands of organizations that work for them. They have a huge state which is dedicated to the Jews worldwide, and are been behind so many of these horrible wars that have been so devastating to everybody. And they have the nerve to tell us about how Russians are aggressive. We've been in more wars in this country than anybody else. But again, it wasn't American wars. It wasn't for the American interest in Iraq. It wasn't for the American interest to bomb Serbia, another European capital. So what is your position on that? What is the issue? Is the issue the West versus Russia? Is it America versus Russia, or America with Ukraine, or is it the question of Jewish supremacy?
It really, I mean, this is Jewish supremacy against, you could say, against civilization. It's clear that the objective here is, I mean, this was, people might say, oh, well, Putin invaded Ukraine. But the fact is that there has been really 30 years of pushing and pushing and pushing Russia. The first 10 years, it was getting Russia under the thumb of these primarily Jewish oligarchs. Mm-hmm. And I will reiterate that, you know, we're talking about Jewish power. We're not talking about individual Jews and their individual behavior. Jewish power is a phenomenon of Jewish group behavior. But, you know, in the 1990s, they were able to get Russia very much under the thumb through this privatization scheme, which at some point we should go into in detail, but through a privatization scheme, get the valuable assets of the Russian people, such as their oil and gas, into the hands of these Jewish oligarchs. And these Jewish oligarchs ran Russia into the ground. The life expectancy of Russian men fell by 7 years during the during that decade.
How many years?
Of course, the Russian people were seven. It went from about 60. It was never long in the first place. It was about 63 during the Soviet era, and then it went down to 56. Average life expectancy of 56, which is like African standard. And during the 90s, the Russian people were
starved.
Trying to throw off.
Even children were starving by these
oligarchs. They were starving. They were freezing. Well, see, people have heard a lot about NATO, and I think most people who listen to our shows, who listen to RBN, are familiar with the NATO expansion. So I'm not going to belabor that point. But in the 1990s, you had immediately, because it actually started before the breakup of the Soviet Union in the Russian Federation, the Russian Federal Republic of the Soviet Union, they were already pushing a privatization scheme. The scheme was it was a brainchild of Jeffrey Sachs at Harvard, a Jewish professor at Harvard, who had used it in Poland and Peru and other places before. And Lawrence Summers, who was a Treasury Department official, later became Treasury Secretary under Clinton and eventually president of Harvard University. But they were sent over by the U.S. government as advisors to Yeltsin's government. They pushed this what they called shock therapy privatization, and the acting minister at the time, he was never approved by the parliament, but he was the acting prime minister, Yegor Gaidar, who was part Jewish, and Anatoly Chubais, who was the privatization minister, who was Jewish. They enacted this shock therapy privatization of state assets at a time when, because the Soviet Union had just been dismembered, it'd been disbanded, and all of the planned economy, it was planned across all of the republics. A washing machine would get its belts from Moldova, and it would get its motor from Ukraine, and everything was from all over. All of a sudden, mm-hmm. everything was in free fall because all those relationships, which were all part of a plan, they were all it was a planned economy, they all fell apart. The economy was in free fall, and in the middle of an economy in free fall, where 2/3 of the people were in poverty, which they hadn't been before, 2/3 of the people are thrown into poverty, and then you give out these vouchers, which every Russian citizen got a voucher to buy shares of stock in these privatized companies. Nobody was thinking about buying stock in companies. They were thinking about food, and they were thinking about fuel. And so they sold these vouchers on the cheap, mm-hmm. and they were who could buy them? The people who could buy them were the people who had been hooked up with international Jewish finance.
Had access to international capital, like the Soroses in the world, the banks of the world.
Right. It was exactly. And we can go into the names at some point. But these people who had both connections to, the likes of Gaidar and Chubais on the one hand, but also had connections to foreign Jewish capital, they were able to buy up all of these vouchers from desperate Russians who just wanted, were just thinking about the next meal. And they came up with all of the valuable assets of the country. And so throughout the 1990s, it immediately had horrible effects. And so in 1993, the parliament impeached Yeltsin. Yeltsin refused to leave, and he sent his tanks out to fire on the parliament building and arrest the vice president, who should have been president, and Vice President Alexander Rutskoy and Speaker of Parliament Ruslan Hasbulatov. They were arrested, And you can look at the photos of the Parliament building, the entire upper half of it. It was called the White House, but it was charred black because of the fire that was set by Yeltsin. It burnt. I mean, talk about burning your Parliament. And then, of course, you had a fake election in 96 that not Cinemax, not HBO, one of those, Showtime movie production with Jeffrey Goldblum called Spinning Boris. And that was about how these Jewish advisors from America helped Boris Yeltsin steal the 1996 election. They just kept trying to get rid of these people. Finally, Putin came in at the very end. He was supposed to save the show for the oligarchs, but once he developed his own base of support, he turned on the oligarchs and the American Jewish foreign policy establishment that had very much helped create the oligarchs in the first place. They have never forgiven him. And so this whole thing is to regime change Vladimir Putin. And
they make the Russians suffer as much as they can. And they also, and this is so important, and I got to repeat this because I don't want people to think that we're just, you know, I don't consider me or you to be on the side of Russia in terms of Russian people dying or surviving or whatever. And we don't care about the Ukrainians. I lived in Ukraine. I love the Ukrainian people. I went to school in Ukraine. I've got many close friends there, wonderful people that I know, and I don't want to see any Ukrainians die. But to have the Ukraine, anytime somebody gets up and says, oh, we got to stand up for freedom, we got to send these people weapons, we got to send these people bombs, we got to send these people Stinger missiles. What do they call that? It's another weapon that they have. They were bragging that they have the most in all of Europe, you know, for these small weapons. The truth is that sending these to these people right now will just make the war go longer, and you're going up against the second largest military in the world who's got to share a long border with you, easy supply lines and everything. You can't win that war, but you can devastate the country and get so many thousands of decent Ukrainians killed. And like I've been saying on my show, as I talked about with you the other day, my dad was a full colonel in the army, and I asked him one time about, well, what about surrender? Because you always see these shows that the big people don't surrender and they die, you know, and so forth. Remember the Alamo and stuff, and they all died. But it's like, the truth is that every military has policies. And the United States Army, when I was in ROTC, and I know this from my father, that we were taught that if you had overwhelming force and it was obvious that they were going to you and be wiped out, killed, and all the people would never get home to their wives and kids, you know, it is honorable in that kind of a situation to surrender. And if it's okay for fighting soldiers who are, you know the risks when they get involved in a war and they get involved as a soldier for their country, if it's okay for them to surrender, right, in a situation where they, you know, if they fight, they're just going to get wiped out when they're offered a surrender and they're offered reasonable terms, it's insane for them to keep fighting. And any officer that did that would be betraying, or any leader of a country or any leader of a regiment or a village that forced the people to fight, even though there was no possible way for them to win, they'd all be slaughtered and their families would be slaughtered or whatever. This is a crime against those people. And that's exactly what the Jewish president and these Jews, the Jewish global world order of Jews, or whatever you want to call it, Jewish supremacy that rules America's foreign policy, that rules the media of this world, they're trying to encourage Ukrainians to sacrifice their lives and die for nothing. And even if they possibly, some miracle happened and they won the war, right? In the end, after fighting for a year, let's say that they finally, you know, the Russians decided to leave, okay? But so after you have 10,000 dead, 20,000 dead, 30,000 dead, 40,000 dead, your homes, everything in ruin, when the truth is that would probably be changed and overthrown pretty soon anyway, just by being clever. And the Russians never wanted to kill the people anyway. What are your thoughts on that?
The way this has materialized is that everybody who dies, whether it's on the Ukrainian side, whether it's on the Russian side, whether it's civilian or military, every person who dies, that is a minus for Vladimir Putin. Because I don't think that the people who are running the show, you know, whether it's Zelensky, whether it's Victoria Nuland, Tony Blinken, they don't think they're going to defeat Russia militarily.
Hello? I think we lost connection with you. Am I still? Okay, there you are.
Hey, I'm talking really smart stuff. Don't you hear me?
No, we're talking great. We just lost about the last 20 seconds, 30 seconds. Go ahead.
All right. No, I mean, the thing is, Vladimir Putin, no matter what you think of him, some people will say, oh, I fault him for this. I fault him for that. He hasn't completely pushed out Jewish power. But the fact of the matter is that in the 1990s, Russia was like Brazil only worse because it didn't have the nice climate. It was a frigid Brazil. It was poor. It was powerless. And he brought it back, and he is the savior of Russia at a time when every Western country's been getting worse and worse, by the way. Ukraine, the Ukrainian leadership since the 2014 coup d'etat, this is a country that's the poorest in Europe, the most corrupt in Europe. So
the most corrupt, really, rotten most country corrupt. And controlled by Jewish gangsters, too, by the way.
Right. And the idea of this, the reason that the Jewish foreign policy establishment in Washington and the Jewish leader, Jewish president in Kiev, the reason they pushed and pushed and pushed Putin to places where Putin had already said for years, for like 14 years, he had been saying, I will never accept, Ukraine and NATO. This is an existential threat to us. And they pushed him there and beyond. Just before the military maneuvers started, Zelensky was saying he was going to develop nuclear weapons. I mean, just push and push and push. The idea of getting into a war with Putin, which was completely, completely provoked in the responsibility of the Western, of the, Zionist Western power establishment, was to make Putin look bad, to provide a rationale for the most stringent sanctions possible, and to erode his base of support within Russia because people would, they're bound to have either their loved ones in the military get killed or their loved ones in Ukraine because there are so many family connections. So every person who dies on either side, military or civilian, that is a loss for Putin, and it is a win for Victoria Nuland. Victoria
it's
Nuland
hard to believe
and
people are that evil, Vladimir but they Polinsky. Are, aren't they? It's hard to
the
believe
more,
they're that evil.
The
they want more people to die. The more people die, the better off for them, right?
That is the name of the game. And this is why Vladimir Putin has been so cautious. People might even say timid. I mean, has he done shock and awe in Kiev? Like Victoria Nuland's husband and all her friends did on Baghdad? Okay. No, he has not done that.
Or look what they did, and look what they did in Serbia. I mean, look what they did. I mean, it's crazy. It's nuts. It's nuts. So, yeah. Another thing, I'm going to go into a lot of things, too, that's really important, because it's really important our own people understand kind of what's going on. Now, you and I have both discussed this a lot on our shows, and we've discussed this together, something on the Rents Radio Network, and you've done it on your shows. And we have to continue to make sure people understand the real things that are at stake here. And some of the false narrative that the Internet Defense Fund, the Jewish Internet Defense Fund in Israel, and these other people try to produce. Anybody can start these websites. They can start any Twitter account. They can start anything, and they're not going to be blocked. And then they can act like they're us, and then they can say anything they want. And then when they influence enough people, they get some of our people to believe it. So let's just talk about some of the narratives which they would want to support. I think one narrative that they want to support is that everybody's controlled. The Jews control everything. Mm. They control every country, and therefore there's nothing we can do about it. They control. Putin's a Jew. Putin's working for the Jews, even though I've seen the false evidence. They've actually produced, absolutely easily forensically proven documents that are easy to prove that they're fake. They're exact copies of signatures that he did on public documents that were on the internet. Anybody can find. And then you stretch them and they fit identically into the supposed application for a visa, which would that identifies his mother as an Hebrew, Jew in Russian. Right. It's total lie. Total lie, but they can do anything they want to do, and they definitely, we know that there's nobody in this world in terms of a leader of a major company, a major country, anybody of a major leader that they hate more than Putin, and any country they hate more than Russia. They are doing, this is shock and awe right now. They're trying to destroy the Russian economy everywhere they can. They're demonizing them with just constant lies. And this is something that we have to understand. Now, I've got something I can prove this by, too, if you'd like me to share it to you. I shared today on my show this morning with Mark Collette, you know, and it's good to read the article. I got an article from CNN, and the article headlines, Facebook temporarily allows posts on Ukraine war calling for violence against Russians, right? And imagine that. Now imagine, you think that they would, that Facebook or Google or YouTube or anything would allow like people in Syria to post on their on Facebook, you know, calling for violence against the Jews who've taken over the country and have kicked, you know, I mean, the same thing. Of course they don't. They don't. They won't. And they always police this. But I've got something in here that is mentioned in the article that says so much as to the misinformation. And by the way, we all heard about, I mean, a lot of us who are in the know have heard about the Azov Regiment. And these are people who are openly white nationalists, and they're openly against the Jews. They're called right wing, right? Now, obviously, Facebook and YouTube and Twitter and all of these organizations, I've been banned, all these organizations are normally, they are banned even to defend white people and defend immigration. They're quickly double banned, you might say, the double secret selection committee. They're double banned if they ever talk about Jews. And yet this organization has a reputation for that. So I want to read this section of this article that appeared on CNN. And listen to this. First off, they're blocking RT and Sputnik in Europe. So they don't want people to get any other side of the question because we have total Jewish control over the major media. I'll go into that in a minute if people want. But anyway, then it goes on. Listen to this. Now, this is about the Facebook bans, right? And the Facebook, what they're doing. All right. Emails also showed that Meta is that new metaverse, is what, you know, Zuckerberg trying to produce. This is
the holding company for Facebook.
Exactly. This is totally a Jewish controlled company, right? Now, Azov is openly anti-Jewish and openly pro-white, right? So, to show you how much and how well they divide and conquer, right? Here's what they say. Emails also show that Meta would allow praise of the right-wing Azov battalion, which is normally prohibited, in a change first reported by The Intercept. Meta spokesman Joe Osborne previously said the company was for the time being, making a narrow exception for praise of the Azov regiment strictly in the context of defending Ukraine or in their role as part of the Ukrainian National Guard. So these Jews...
They're allowing praise of Azov. What else are they newly allowing that normally they wouldn't? How about like call for assassinations?
Exactly.
Right? Yeah.
But to think about this now,
Putin or Russians.
People got to use their heads now, really. If the Jews don't want the Russians to be beat for some reason, and major international media doesn't want that, how in the hell would they praise an organization with an anti-Semitic reputation and a white nationalist reputation? So, you know, this is what Jews always do. They always get their enemies divided. So how in the world can someone think that they're on the right side if Zuckerberg's on your side, if CNN's on your side? The United States government, the Defense Department in the United States of America, we know how they feel about white nationalists. We know how they feel about the January 6th people, right?
We'll have to talk about it on the other side of the break.
Yeah, we'll talk about it after the commercial. We'll wrap it up.
Truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth. Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because big tech, big pharma, and big brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast two-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
For over 20 years now, Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. I received an arterial switch at birth. In my mid-20s, I started getting slight runs of NSVT. Nothing too serious, but enough to cause worry. I started taking Extendivite a little over 2 years ago, and it helped cut the palpitations and NSVT down drastically. This isn't a cure-all supplement. I strongly recommend a good diet and exercise to aid in any heart troubles you may be having, and I strongly recommend giving Extendivite a try. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
So, well, ladies and gentlemen, we're back. I'm here with Dr. Patrick Slattery. This is David Duke. So, doing the Intel report in honor of the great Stadtmiller. Folks, yeah, this is really important stuff because it's so important that our people know what's really going on, and there's so much controlled opposition. I always talk about this on my show and on the Rinse Radio Network, and I'll share it with you for a second here. But one of the most important books you ever read, of course, and most of you have read it, but maybe you might miss some parts of it. It's called 1984 by George Orwell. And in there, he talks about controlled opposition. And he purposefully gives the spokesman, who was the guy for the controlled opposition, he was supposed to be the opposition of Orwell, but he wasn't the opposition of Orwell. He was actually under the, opposition for Big Brother. But he was under the power. He was created by Big Brother to leave people who don't like the tyranny of Big Brother to a dead end. Because what happened was it was operated by Big Brother to control the opposition. And they had a manifesto, which Orwell made up, of Emmanuel Goldstein. And in the manifesto, Goldstein says, you know, it may look like this is the control of Big Brothers by some sort of hereditary or a tribe. You know, it may be, it looks like genealogy. Looks like it's inherited, right? It may be, in fact, there's, you know, there seems to be, you know, a lot of Jews. There seems to be a lot of blacks. There seems to be a lot of, you know, but no, don't worry about that. There's no racism. There's no discrimination. They just want the best people to run it, right? So that's exactly what they tell us every day, right? They tell us every day that, well, we can't talk about the Jews, and that's not true. And, you know, so this is controlled opposition, and they do try to influence us. And with the internet, and the Jews are very good at that. They know exactly how to affect it. They create these narratives, such as the Jews control everything and everybody. So if you really believe that they control everything and everybody, that they can never make a mistake, or that there's not some people who are better than others, and some people maybe has a chance to do something about this, then you're never going to win, right? In a war, if you convince everybody, you know, on the walls of the village fortress that resistance is futile, you have no chance. And they do this all the time. Now, what I was quoting from you, the Meta, I'll quote that again. Emails also showed that Meta would allow, this is Facebook, praise of the right-wing Azov battalion, which is normally prohibited in a change first reported by The Intercept. Now, by the way, I like most of the Azov people that I've met, and I've met quite a few over the years. I've talked to many. I would consider many of my friends. I've talked to people. I just talked to somebody from Ukraine last night after I talked to another friend of mine locally who called me. And one of his friends got killed, who was actually against the war, but he felt like he had to support his neighbors, he had to support his loved ones, his family, and he went off to war with them. And there was a mortar, and it apparently when they were firing some mortar rounds, and these people are very inexperienced, right? And so after a couple of the mortars dropped in, so when they dropped in the third or fourth one, I don't know the number exactly, but it fell over. It fell over, and the mortar round went off and killed a number of these Ukrainians, right, including my friend's friend, close friend. And the guy was just, you know, broken up entirely. So I don't, you know, I'm not against them. I'm just urging them. I don't want them to die for nothing. I don't want them, you know, again, even if they, you know, the Russians, if they are pressed up against the wall, they're going to devastate things before they get their own troops killed. They're going to do whatever they got to do, and they got the power to do it. That's just it. When you fight a war like this, it's not like the desert someplace is wide open so you can avoid civilians. If you're going to fight in the cities, where are the people and the untrained people especially, where are they going to be firing from? It's not going to be from apartment buildings. It's not going to be from businesses. It's not going to be from rooftops. It's not going to be that. And you expect that the Russians with their tanks and their heavy equipment and their grenade launchers and all the stuff they have, they're not to fire back? You know, this is going to be a slaughter. They can even bring in heavy, you know, they can bring in military. They have air superiority there. They can bring all this stuff in, you know. This is crazy. This is a suicide mission. And as I said earlier in the program, like my daddy told me, you know, there's nothing immoral for people if they have an overwhelming force that's going to wipe them out, even in the military men, for them to have a surrender and do it with honor. Americans have many times done that. And yet we have the Jewish head of this country trying to tell people, you're doing a do real great to die for your country. You're going to be heroic, and this is going to be a great thing. No, you're going to be dead, and you're not going to be any good for your country at all to fight against these Jews once you lose the country.
So you got this Jewish president saying it's a suicide mission, but you Ukrainian people, you're the right people for the job. That's what he's saying. If you don't mind, I'd like to address, you mentioned people think that Vladimir Putin's part of the plan. People were saying, a lot of people, some people were saying, Trump's election, it was all part of the plan and this and that. And I'm getting to the point where I really just can't suffer this anymore, that everything's part of the plan. You know, if you believe, for instance, if you believe that God has a plan, and everything's unfolding according to God's plan. Actually, there's a complete, there's a total internal logic there. You have an invisible, and yet invisible, all-powerful force. Yeah, an invisible, all-powerful force could have a plan and implement that plan. But when you're talking about humans, whether you're talking about Jews or the Bilderbergers or the globalists or whatever, these people aren't invisible and they're not all powerful. And the idea that humans would be able to somehow conspire and pull all these strings and have their one singular plan just implemented like clockwork. No, that is just so far-fetched and ridiculous. There are struggles that are going on. There's competition going on. And it's so clear. I mean, we saw in our own country how Trump was in the course of 4 years, he was Jew d'etat. He was regime changed. It was a regime change what they did.
Yeah.
He had two elections.
If people don't think Jews hated Trump for whatever reason, they did hate Trump.
there was one reason that was very obvious at the time. There's another reason that should be obvious to people now. The reason that was obvious at the time was that he was elected on a platform to stop immigration, not just illegal immigration, but in 2016 he had released a platform that included chain migration, birthright citizenship, this whole thing, and that was a big deal. But also remember when back in August 2015, I remember Stephen F. Cohen talking about Trump's positions with regards to Russia, saying he could get along with Vladimir Putin, and why do we need NATO? And I think it's pretty clear now that that Putin was also very much in their sights, and the idea of having a president like Trump who could make friends with Russia, maybe disband NATO, they couldn't have that. And so and when you look at the way they regime changed Trump with the Russia,
think about it.
But Russia hoax?
Yeah, right? It was all Jewish, by the way.
The Russiagate investigation with Mueller, and then when they tried to impeach him in 2019 over a phone call to Volodymyr Zelensky, where he was suggesting that they look into the Biden family's illegal deals, and with a hint that if military aid to Ukraine could be withheld. So obviously this was a big deal. So between the they were very good at manipulating Trump. I mean, Trump wound up being a failure. They manipulated him on the immigration. Remember the 2019 State of the Union, where he said, "Oh, we've brought back so many factories that we need more immigrants than ever." Right, and then of course they got they prevented him from developing any kind of relationship with Putin, and then he's out there at his rally saying, "Nobody's been tougher on Russia than Donald Trump."
Yeah,
so they
were terrible.
To manipulate him.
What a disappointment Donald Trump's been, but he has done some. Without Donald Trump, the common phrase now would not, fake news media wouldn't even be there. That's a great phrase, and he did this, pounded this every day, right?
Mm. Yeah, he tried.
He also stood up to the Republican Jewish Coalition, right? And he stood up publicly and said, look, I'm not here to get any money from you because you're not going to give me money. And because you want to control the politicians with your money. And you're not going to control me. That's why he actually said this to them. And, of course, the Jews screamed like this is anti-Semitism and everything. Right. He also said things just the other day. He said things like, well, the Jews, they totally control Congress, right?
Mm-hmm. And then the next sentence out of his mouth was, as they should.
Yeah, but the point was, they don't want people to do that, right?
No, they don't. They don't. And so, I mean, Trump was, he took a lot of risks, and he did try, but he ultimately failed in most of his objectives. In the main objectives, he failed. And I would like him to learn. I'm not seeing any evidence of him learning. And I'm not even following what he says about Russia and Putin. I know the very first days he was saying, well, Putin's a genius, but you can be an evil genius. And then he made some sort of joke about, oh, we should bomb Moscow with planes p- painted to look like Chinese planes. You know, well, that's a stupid thing to say. He should realize that the exact same people, often the same individuals who regime changed him, are trying to regime change Putin.
And you know, so I came within 2 or 3 percentage points from going to the United States Senate, as you know, in 1990, in the election in Louisiana. And I'll tell you the difference between Trump and I. And if Trump would have done what I'm going to tell you right now, folks, you know, I don't think it would have caused any problem, but it would have been the right thing to do. So every rally he had around the country, he would say, he'd point out the few blacks in there, and usually more blacks in the podium than out of 30,000 people in the crowd. And he would always say, thank you, black people. I really love black people. I'm all for you. I just love you. And thank you, black people. He would single out the Mexicans, say, thank you, Mexicans. You know, he'd single out the Jews. Oh, thank you. I'm the best person in the world for the Jews. So there's 99% of the audience is white, non-Jewish, you know, people. And he couldn't even say one word, you know, thank you, white people. The way I would have said that, I would say, you know, we need all the votes. This is a democracy. We just have to deal with the people there are, you know. And I think I am the best president for any other race to vote for in this election. So I thank you, black people, to vote for me. You know, I thank anybody that votes for me. Some Jews, I don't think many would vote for me. I thank you, Mexicans, who would vote for me, because I'm going to make this country stronger and I'm going to make it better. But you know what? At the end, I would save it till the end, and I'd say, and I just want to say something which you can't say in this country. I would say, and thank you, white people who are here today, that want to preserve your heritage. You're not trying to take any rights from any other people, but you want to save your country. You want your children to have a future. And thank God for you, and thank God the fact that your ancestors made this country. And I want to also thank you, and I appreciate and love you so much. That's what I would say. I think that would have gone over pretty good. The media wouldn't have liked it, but I don't think you'd have lost any votes because of that. I really don't. Anyway, I want to say one more thing about the lies and the propaganda. Yeah. So Putin, I mean, they can get away with anything. I mean, we had the Iraq War, of course, the huge lies about weapons of mass destruction, all that crap. But I want to give an example of the evil of the Zelensky character and the media that's telling Ukrainians to fight and publishing ideas and stories that encourage them to sacrifice their lives for nothing, and including civilians. They have videos for young girls to make Molotov cocktails and say they're going to be heroines if they go after the tanks of Molotov cocktails. You know, they're going to emulate themselves, what they're going to do. But anyway, immolate themselves. But anyway, this is the headline from the Washington Post. And this is the paper that's read by all the people in Congress, second most important paper in America. And the headline reads, Washington Post, this is the Washington Post, this is February 25th, this is right after the story came out, next day. On Ukraine's Snake Island, a defiant last stand against Russian forces. All right, here we go. As the Russian military pounded targets across Ukraine with an array of bombs and missiles, a small team of Ukrainian border guards on a rocky, desolate island received an ominous message. Give up or be attacked. I am a Russian warship, a voice from the invaders said, according to a recording of the communications. Quote, I ask you to lay down your arms and surrender to avoid bloodshed and unnecessary deaths. Otherwise, you will be bombed. The article goes on. It's a short article. The Ukrainians responded boldly. Russian warship, quotations, came the reply. Go F yourself. The Russians then opened fire, eventually killing 13 border guards. So, in fact, they even said it on NPR that they killed all the guards on the island. Well, folks, as you probably know, this is a major paper repeating this. I guess they had no verification. I don't think they called the head of the Navy to find out any of this stuff. So it turned out it was a complete and total lie. It's admitted by the Ukrainian Navy, the head of the Ukrainian Navy today. It went all over the world. And it was telling people to come to Ukraine, sacrifice your lives, It was a big story to give the Ukrainians about these great people who sacrificed their lives. And they were that's basically telling people in Ukraine to go sacrifice your life, to do a kamikaze mission. And this has an effect on people, especially that don't know what they're dealing with. They don't know anything about war at all. I mean, in actual fact, there were 87 people on the island, and the Russians made a decent offer, and they surrendered. And the Russians didn't kill them. They didn't torture them. You know, they didn't even put iron, you know, things like American policemen do, you know, and put these tight things around your back. If you have bad shoulders like me, they practically kill your shoulders, so they put a handcuff in the back of you. They don't, you know, they just treat them decently. What?
Sounds like you've got some experience.
I do have experience because I've been arrested a number of times for daring to defend the interests of white people, and I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not necessarily proud of it. I didn't want to be arrested, but that's what happens. And I've had a lot of problems in Europe simply for telling Europeans, wake up, you know, and always being pro-nonviolent. You'd think that they'd like my voice to say that we don't want to be violent. And if you're violent, you do something illegal or improper or immoral. Not only is that wrong to kill some innocent person, but you're also hurting your cause because the media's in the control of our Jewish enemies that want to see our demise. So, yeah, I do have some experience. But isn't that interesting? So all that, everything they said in that article was a complete and total lie. Another thing that this guy did is, I think you're old enough. I don't know if you're old enough. I'm older than you are. But the Rwanda, remember the Rwanda case with the Hutsis and the Tutsis, right?
The Watutsis and the Hutus.
The Tutsis and the Hutus or Hutsis. Yeah.
Hutus. Yeah.
Hutus. Hutsis. Whatever. The Hulus. Whatever it is. But, I mean, it's really interesting that we had world court trials for radio hosts, right, who said, you know, we need to kill the enemy. We need to kill these Hutus or Tutsis or whatever they were. Which side? And I'd rather just say I'm not sure about which name it is right now, but I got the documents. I could pull it up on my computer, but we don't have time for all that. But one thing's for sure, they were sentenced. And for saying this on the radio, just to say, it's the same as killing the Russians. So I've got a very, very interesting quote, if I can dig it up, from the president the other day. It was Sunday a week ago, I believe. And he made a big thing. He talked about the four people that was killed trying to escape the outskirts of Kyiv. And by the way, we don't know if it was a mortar from the Ukrainians or a mortar from the Russians, but probably not from the Russians because they tried to guarantee the escape rate. The Ukrainians would be probably more likely in doing that. We know there is also efforts of the Ukrainians to stop people from leaving. They're demanding it. In fact, the Russian president says, I'm not going to let anybody from 18 to 60 years old, or yeah, something like that, 18 to 60, leave the country, as if a 55-year-old man or something.
Unless what?
Unless you're Jewish.
How about that? I didn't see that one.
He helped
coming.
Organize with Israel the evacuation of Jews before he got his country to have this massive disaster, right?
Do you remember Tucker Carlson's face one of those first nights, and he had early in the show. He had reported that that Zelensky wasn't letting men from 18 to 60 leave the country. And then later in the show, he's interviewing some guy on the ground, and it's clearly a Jewish guy. He's got an orange jacket on that's got Hebrew letters on it, and he's talking about his work evacuating people. You know, evacuate. He didn't say specifically evacuating Jews, but that's what it was. Evacuating people from the country. And Tucker Carlson had this very confused look on his face, and he said, "Well, aren't you having trouble with that?" "Oh no, we have ways. We have ways."
That was a Jewish guy too.
A Jewish guy, and then
with Hebrew letters all over his jackets, and they were supporting raising his money to evacuate Jews from the country.
Yeah. And then make sure you put our website on the screen. Is it on the screen? I was told it was going to be on the screen. Is our website on the screen? Because that's how people can send us money.
Exactly, send the money. You can't make this stuff up, classic,
because it. You know, I don't know who arranged that. He seemed to be taken by surprise.
Well, going back to the Tutsi thing, I got the climax of this story. So here's Zelensky, right? And he does this show. And what he does, he talks about the mother and the friend and the two kids who died in the evacuation route with no evidence that the shell was fired by Russians at all. And it could have been fired by Ukrainians. But there is some evidence that the Ukrainian forces were blocking the exit of the civilians on purpose, right? But anyway, so he goes into this emotional thing. He has good script writers, just like he became president because a Jewish organized criminal who ran the media made him a television star as a patriot of Ukraine, right?
Yeah, Ihor Kolomoisky.
Anyway, so this is what he said. I'll try to give it to you as he said it. He says, "How many such families have died in Ukraine? We will not forgive. We will not forget." All right? Then he explains it is every Russian in Ukraine who are anybody who supported them in any way, or anybody supported the actions of Russia, that are the enemy here. And he goes on to say, "We will punish everyone who committed atrocities in this war on our land. We will find every bastard who shot at our cities, our people, who bombed our land, who launched rockets, who gave the order, and they pressed go." All right. Now, what he's saying there, Dr. Slider, obviously, it's basically every Russian. And it's even the Russians who are Russian Ukrainians, right, who are also, you know, trying to save their people from the Zelensky batch wants to genocide them, right? So it's every Ukrainian. And then he goes on to say, he said, "Launch the rockets, gave the order, press go. There will be no quiet place," this is Zelensky, "on this earth for you except for the grave." You know, it is against the Geneva Convention and it's against international law to say you'll ultimately kill every person you claim as an enemy, and to incite that in the population there, and they're absolutely doing that. He is guilty by the same thing they prosecuted the individuals in this case. And, you know, the co-founder of a radio station that was just saying the same basic things, he was convicted of genocide and inciting genocide simply for broadcasting in the enemy that we're going to kill the enemy, we're going to kill the Tutsis, you know? Mm. I mean, it's like, And this was a war. It was a civil war between the two, right? So mm-hmm. He's guilty. But there was never any mention of this. In fact, the media thought this was the most heroic and wonderful speech they ever heard. And they've been showing me a video of me on YouTube. There's all kinds of videos you can get on YouTube where they're torturing, shooting Russian soldiers. Just they capture. They're just shooting them after they've captured them. They're unarmed. They're beating the crap out of them, throwing them in ditches. We're out of time, folks. Thanks, Dr. Slattery, for being with me, too, on your network, Public. And, folks, thank you for being with me. Go to davidduke.com. Go to my Gab at Real David Duke. Go to my Odyssey, Real David Duke. Go to davidduke.com and catch up with my shows. Come to my show on Monday and catch us. And God bless you all. And thank you so much for knowing the truth and fighting for the truth. I love you. Bye-bye. It's the least we can do for the red, white, and blue. We must take America back. We must take America back.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Kosher-tified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Co-Certified app can make a huge difference for your future.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.